Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today it is Coach Andrea and I, and we are going to be talking about building phases today. Now, we had both put up on our stories, hey, we're going to be doing a building phase Q&A. What questions do you have for us? And we actually got so many questions on that that we decided it'd probably be best to just do a series on building phases for women, very similar to the body recomposition series we did for women. Really digging deeper into building phases and kind of all the finer details of what that looks like, the adjustments we're making, the things we're considering with clients. But again, with the amount of questions we had, we decided it would just be best to just do a full series on that. So if you did ask either of us questions, please be patient with that. We are going to get to that. But we want to just put together a full series for y'all to really make sure we've answered those very well and make sure everyone feels extremely confident going through building phases because it is such an important part of changing your physique. It is such a big part of the work that we do with our clients. But both of us have actually been in building phases. Really, I've been in the building phase for the better part of 14 months now. And I know you've been in one for a decent amount of time as well. So I kind of want to just talk about our building phases, our biggest takeaways, really kind of what we've been up to in this episode. This goes well because we also both just kind of like posted updates on social media. I can link both of those up in the show notes. Actually, we both posted updates on social media, as far as kind of what we've been up to. Here's where our physiques are at. So I think this kind of ties in well with that. And really wanted to just talk about kind of what we've been up to, our biggest lessons. And I think again, as yours is more applicable to most of the clients that we're working with, I want to start by talking about yours, Andrea. And then from
Okay.
there, if we have time, we can dig into mine a little bit. But first, kick us off on kind of what you've been up to in your building phase so far as like what your nutrition has been like, what your training has been like, what your cardio has been like, things of that nature.
Yeah, I've finished up a fat loss phase. I honestly can't even remember the exact timeline, maybe like end of August, early September, something like that. And reverse dieted, got my calories back up to a decent spot there. And then at that point, I started a building phase late October. So at the end of the fat loss phase, my low weight was 143. And now, and then I, at the end of what I would call the reverse diet, it's kind of hard to have a, there's no set end there because I've just continually worked my food up since that point. But whenever I kind of made that transition, it was 147. So about 4 pounds gained through
Okay.
that. And then now I am around 158, 159. So I've gained like 14 pounds, 15 pounds throughout that entire timeline. Within that time, I haven't done any cardio at all through any of it, even the fat loss phase. So my steps though in the fat loss phase were at 14,000, so fairly high. And then we reduced those to now 8,000 to 10,000, and I'd say I'm averaging like right there in the middle of that. Nutrition wise, my food didn't get super low. I wasn't like shredded at the end of my fat loss phase by any
You're
means.
pretty lean though.
I was fairly
You're still
lean.
pretty lean.
I was pretty similar to my photo shoot as far as leanness,
Or you're pretty
without
lean, I
like the
would say.
peaking. I don't know. I was pretty lifestyle lean, I would say.
Andrea's never gonna talk herself up, but you have some
So
pretty and still have some pretty serious abs going on.
my food wasn't all that low. I can't remember my exact macros. I think like 140 grams of carbs, somewhere around there, and probably around 40 fat, 145
Okay.
protein. And then now, though, I am at 200 carbs on rest days, 55 fat. On my training days, I'm at 300 carbs, 55 fat. And then I have one extra high day that's 380 carbs, 60 fat. So the highest food that I've ever eaten.
I was gonna say, probably in like your adult life, that's the most you've ever eaten, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. There was at one point whenever I was powerlifting, I was close to 300 carbs, but
Okay.
yeah, 380 is, I mean, that's only one day per week, but that's definitely
Right.
the most food I've ever eaten.
Okay.
Yeah, so did I cover everything there as far as like a quick summary?
Yeah, so it sounds like we were up about 14 pounds. And I know 4 of that came in the reverse diet. So in this building phase, you're up about 10 pounds so far, right?
Yeah, 10,
And
11.
how many weeks into that are you?
I'm 4 months in.
Okay. So that's a pretty, you're gaining a pretty good clip. Yeah.
Almost now, a pound a week.
Yeah. Now, what, that's a, I would say that's probably quite a bit quicker than like what you would typically expect to see for a client, correct?
Yeah, correct.
What do you think, why is it that you guys are okay with that? Kind of talk us through that.
Well, one aspect is I'm not gaining a ton of body fat. So I imagine if I were to start getting a lot softer, then my coach would pull that back and slow things down. But I'm not. And so we're just keeping that going. And she's always like pretty happy with the rate of gain each week. It's definitely a lot faster than I typically push my clients. But, you know, that's a big aspect of it is I'm staying decently lean. And so we're continuing it on. Another part is like, I've gained quite a bit in terms of glycogen and water weight. So while that's really fast, like obviously I'm not gaining a pound of muscle a week, that'd be ridiculous. But I was depleted at the end of my fat loss phase. I also wasn't training nearly as hard. And so just with the all of those variables kind of coming together at the same time, I've gained quite a bit in just water, glycogen, and then also a little bit of muscle.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, another important point with, like, I would expect, it would be very, 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 very rare that I would like push a client to gain that quickly. But with where you're coming from is you are pretty experienced, but also like for anyone who's kind of kept up on your journey over the last couple of years, like you were in a health phase for like a year where you weren't able to train very hard. There was like a year plus where you were intentionally having to pull back on your training. Whereas this is like the first time in forever that you've really been able to push your training extremely hard. And I mean, like based on your body composition, it does seem like you've just built a lot of muscle. But I think it's also important to like 99% of people listening probably shouldn't be seeing like that quick of a gain. But with where you're at, again, it's definitely kind of in line with what you're seeing and for sure the right goal.
Yeah, there are a lot of confounding variables there. So I was in a health phase and I was keeping 3 to 4 on some days, 4 to 5 reps on other days, reps in the tank for a year and a half. So I hadn't trained hard to failure in a really long time. And now I'm pushing my top sets all the way to failure to where I'm either actually failing my last rep, which is what most of the time happens, or I am just very positive that if I went down into another rep, I wouldn't even start to bring it back up. So I'm training to failure a lot of times with a drop set or a back off set. And I also had been training in my garage from 2020 until just a couple months ago. And I started back at a gym, and that does make a difference. I mean, you can definitely gain muscle in a garage gym, especially having the cables and stuff like we have. But as good as my PowerTech leg slide is, I love it, but it's not hack squat, and I can just get so much more output from a hack squat because of the stability and the way that it's set up. So there is a big difference there too. Like I'm going to get a better stimulus being in a gym with all of the equipment variety.
Yeah. And even like, I mean, we both have pretty elaborate home gym setups, honestly. But even with like the like pendulum squat and having like the Cybex squat press at my house, still like my training sessions are so much better. Just like being around people, being there's like the environment I really enjoy as well. And that's different for everyone, right? There's nothing wrong with home gyms. We have a lot of clients who train at home just because that's like the way to like when we have to make it work. And I still will train at home sometimes, right? When it's like I have a busy day and I need to.
Yeah, I do too.
But I do really try to prioritize that because I, again, like really enjoy my sessions there. Okay. So what would you say, are there like any biggest takeaways from your building phase so far that you think would be helpful to share with listeners?
Yeah. The first one is letting go of the expectations of the scale. And this is something that I've talked to a lot of my clients about with building phases is like, listen, we want the weights in the gym to be going up and we just don't want you losing weight. Beyond that, we're going to just kind of let the scale do what it's going to do. And we're watching your body composition. I don't have expectations for body weight anymore in building phases. That's something that like in the research, 0.5% to 1% per month is kind of the standard, but I have completely let go of that, to be honest. Same. Yeah. I just let the scale do what it's going to do. As long as we're not losing weight in a build phase, then if we're maintaining, but we're adding muscle and you're consistently getting stronger and training is really good, I am usually okay with that. I probably am going to push it up a little bit more to actually start gaining. But if we're gaining, then I don't care what the scale does, honestly. And so for me though, I even having that with my clients, with how fast my rate of gain has been, it still has made me a little bit nervous every once in a while. And, you know, like with fluctuations in water weight and things like that, or if I have a day where I just feel like I'm holding a little more water or I'm a little bloated, then it's like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? It's moving too quickly.
Right.
But when I zoom out and really look at the objectives, then I am really happy with what we've done so far. And so I have to let go of the scale weight. And if I don't, and I'm just going to be fighting it every step of the way, then that's only going to lead to a worse response.
Yeah. I think that's a very, very important point. And similarly, like, and of course we do things the same way, but I'm not too attached to a client gaining any specific rate. Again, as long as I know we're not in a deficit, as long as we're not losing, biofeedback is good and we're getting stronger. We're almost always seeing body composition improvements. Podcast I recorded recently with Brandon DeCruz and Jeff Hain, actually, we talked about this quite a bit also. And even like some of the more recent research on this with like building at maintenance versus building in a surplus and like how similar the outcomes were. I just feel like so many clients are actually capable of seeing like pretty solid body composition, similar to what we talked about before. But on the flip side, I think also that for some people, and like you and I have both, I think, experienced this in our building phases. Similarly, like I'm just gaining weight pretty quickly, but similar to you, like body composition has stayed in a good place. And the same thing there. It's like, okay, well, we have to look at more than just the scale. And like in this situation, I'm okay with weight going up a little bit quicker. Okay. I like that. Anything else that stands out as far as biggest takeaways for you?
Along those same lines is just fully trusting my coach. Mm-hmm. And that's, like I said, that's very, very much along the same lines where if I were going to kind of fight it every step of the way or try and manage what she's having me do, then it doesn't, like, that doesn't benefit me at all.
Right.
I would rather fully buy in and be gaining too quickly and gain some fat versus say like, hey, can we slow this down and not know like, okay, if I would have just done it the way that she wants to do it, what would that outcome be? Yeah. So not micromanaging things, which I've never been that person to micromanage my coach.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do like, there's a reason that I'm hiring the person that I'm hiring and I trust them. And so I'm just going to do what they're telling me to do. And that always just ends up with a better result.
Yeah. This is a hard thing too, because the reality is there is some bad coaching out there. And I think it's important, like, your coach can explain why you're doing what you're doing. I think it's important that your coach like communicates well and make sure like everything is clear. I also know that a lot of people are kind of in their own way to a large degree with like being so stressed about, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? And kind of like trying to like follow the plan 50% and then like kind of trying to like, well, I'm going to put my own spin on this because I would rather do it this way. Or like, I saw this person on Instagram is doing it this way, so I'm going to try it this way this week. And then the plan just doesn't work because we're not following it all the way. Whereas we were working with a coach who, again, like is intelligent, has proven to be able to help people well, get good results. And again, you trust them. I think that's like a very important part, is like making sure that it's someone you trust before you work with them. They can explain why we're doing what we're doing. Just go all in on it. I would say similarly, like, I feel like that's such a big part of what has helped with like the work with Brandon as well. Cause I knew it was going to be a challenge. I know he was going to like push me harder and hold me to a higher standard than I'd ever been before. And like, this was what it's been like 2 years since we started working together. But at the time I was like, shit, like, I hope I'm ready for this, but it's like, okay, I got to go all in on it. All in on the movements he chooses, et cetera, et cetera. Like not changing all those variables. And truly like that is such an important part of it. Now, like coaching is a collaboration, right? There are definitely times where it's like, hey, I can't make, this isn't to say if it's like, I just don't have the time to make like these training sessions work right now, that it's like, just suck it up, right? Cool. That's what we're here to help you pivot, right? And work around that. We're like, things come up. We work with real people. We're not just working with bodybuilders. We don't work with, well, like we've worked with one bodybuilder, right? But you get the idea. And so like pivoting, like that's a huge part of what coaching is here for. But once we've established that plan, again, like the little things like, I think I'm going to eat a little bit less today because I think I should be gaining a little bit slower, or I'm going to change this movement for this movement because I saw this on Instagram. Those little things start to kind of almost, those are insidious, right? Whereas again, like the bigger things that's here, that's like the biggest value of coaching is again, like, I don't have the time to make this work. Like, let's talk through like how we need to pivot. Or again, like I'm going on vacation or I had this thing come up with my kids. Like that's what we're here for. But those little insidious things can really actually have a big detriment. What about,
I've definitely had those thoughts on like my extra high day of food or like a day where I'm feeling heavier. It's like, oh man, do I really need all of this food? I'm gaining so quickly. But then like you very just quickly talk yourself out of that and follow the plan and everything in the long run. Like I've been happy with my result because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Roz, I think if you don't do that, it is easy to, again, because all those little things where it's like a percentage here, a percentage there, where I'm doing something different, I'm kind of doing my own thing that might actually be counter to the plan your coach has in mind. Those things do make a big difference when we add all those up. And then long-term it can turn into, well, I felt like I still did all the work and I didn't see the result, which I think really, honestly, like that's a big part of where just like the coaching relationship comes into play. Making sure that, and this is always something I try to express, but like even want to repeat here, like we're never going to be like annoyed with you for asking questions, right? Or if you're not sure why we're doing something, or even if it's like, hey, why are we doing things this way? That's important. Like, it's okay to ask that like open communication, feeling like you can communicate with your coach where you're struggling, I think is just such an important part of like getting that in the first place. Any other main points you would want to touch on?
Yeah. So one is the amount of flexibility in a build phase versus a deficit phase and what that looks like, because I think that going into a build phase, it could be really easy to completely let go of the structure that you have in a deficit. You know, we always talk about in a deficit, like a meal plan, ideally, like that's going to get you through that as quickly as possible and as efficiently to where your rate of gain or your rate of loss is, you know, fast enough to see maximum fat loss, obviously not looking to lose as fast as possible. But anyway, following something like that is a lot of structure. And then whenever you go into a build phase, it's like, okay, I'm done. Now I'm just going to go into my day and eat what I want. And I'll, you know, maybe figure out how to meet my totals by the end of the day, where structure is still going to be extremely important in a build phase if you want to stay pretty lean through the phase. So what can ruin a build phase is going like too sloppy and then you gain too quickly, but gain like body fat through that. And then we have to cut it off earlier because now our partitioning ratio isn't where it should be, or you're just uncomfortable. That's like not ideal. So what that looks like for me is I basically eat a meal plan every day. So my food is pretty much the same. It's just easier for me.
Yeah.
But my food is high enough now that on an occasion, like every couple weeks or so, maybe I'll do a dinner. I rarely eat out, honestly. I think I've eaten out a couple times in this entire build phase, but I can make it work whenever we do. Yeah. I'll do different dinners. Like if the boys want to do something specific for dinner one night, we'll do that. We can go out and get ice cream and I'll just adjust my foods, but that's not very often that I'm doing that. So for the most part, I'm still having the same foods because on a daily basis, we always talk about the emotional value with our clients of different meals. And like on vacations, for example, there's some meals that are going to be really special where maybe you don't stick all the way to your macros because it's like a very special occasion. Right. Whereas like a breakfast on a Tuesday is low emotional value. You're going to stick with your macros. So just a regular day. It's just low emotional value. I don't see any reason to switch things up all the time, and it makes things more complicated for me. So still having that structure, I think, has been a big reason why I've been able to perform well in training, because my pre-workout and post-workout meal are really consistent, and then also stay fairly lean through this phase so far.
And I mean, I take a pretty similar approach, I would say, to a lesser degree. So like for my wife, like one of her favorite things is like us going and exploring like Phoenix and like all the new like different restaurants and things of that nature. And part of like the beauty of not being in a fat loss phase is there's a lot more flexibility to do so. So I mean, how we have it, like a lot of clients, I'll give like, hey, we're going to have a free meal every week, right? In this phase, right? Or, and then like a couple times per week, I'm okay if we just focus on hitting calories and protein and we have more flexibility here within your foods. And that's like pretty similar to like, I will say like 5 to 6 days a week, I will basically just follow a meal plan like you had laid out. I don't really want to have to think about it too much. And then we have like one flexible high day where I actually have more calories assigned, rather than having like a free meal. Kind of similar, but I have just some more calories assigned to that day. And I'll basically just play macro Tetris that day. And I'll probably still have like my same pre-workout, my same post-workout meal. But then it'll be like, hey, no, we're going to go out. We're probably going to go out to dinner, or maybe we're just going to like go to like a couple different spots and like have a drink here, have a drink there, and like make that work in. Or similarly, if I do want to have like, maybe we're going to cook dinner together or do something different in the middle of the week, then like, that's not a problem to just, cool, I'm just going to, I ate like 3 of the 5 same meals that I normally would. I'm going to play a little bit of macro Tetris with my like latter couple of meals. That's a similar approach to what we take with a lot of clients. It's like, hey, when we don't need to add in more variety, when you don't know how to think about this, the meal plan is there. But when you do want to get more flexible, cool. It's easy enough to do so, right? We just, you know how to move things around and plug it in, but it can kind of give us the best of both worlds. Whereas if we're always just like winging it and every meal is like, what can I find in the fridge quick? Then that very rarely goes well. Your training effort has been so good. I was talking about that on our team call. If you're training so hard, you feel like you've like had any realizations there as far as like, I don't know, just because it seems like, I know you're very good at pushing yourself, but I think this is the hardest I've seen you train.
It is the hardest I've trained. For sure. It made me so obviously the last year and a half, like I said, I kept several reps in the tank intentionally, but it has made me realize that before that I hadn't pushed myself like that in a long time. I was doing that whenever I was powerlifting training, but that's different. That's in like 3 to 5 rep range. And so failing in that way is way different than the failure training that I'm doing now. For sure. And then also it is a little bit easier on like the machines at the gym, I would say, to fail in certain movements. I was trying to fail a barbell back squat, which I mean, I was getting to the point of failure, but it just isn't the same as on a back squat. Like it's more systemic than it is with specifically your quads, for example. It's been really fun. I love it. It's so much more fun and entertaining in training to actually push it all the way to failure than it is to keep several reps in the tank.
I think that's a good mindset to approach it with too. But I think a lot of people, I think that you're going to have to be kind of intentional about cultivating that, because I think that you can approach training hard one of two ways. It can be like, oh, this fucking sucks, this is hard. Or we can look at it as like, hey, this is fun in a weird way, right?
It's both. It is hard.
it is difficult. But again,
it's fun.
And I think that like I have to choose that. It's easy for me to be like, fuck, like I gotta like progress this again this week. I also think that for me, it's very helpful to not like put a ton of pressure on myself to like feel like I have to progress the logbook every week. I still like typically do, and I still like pay attention to it, but I know like I get so married to it that it's like I just make it all about that. And like if I don't progress, I failed. When that's not the case, right? For many of us, as we get more and more advanced, there will be weeks where we might not see a ton of progress, and then we might make a decent jump forward. But again, as long as we're getting that proximity to failure, we're executing well, we're still stimulating muscle growth, we're still making progress. But like, I think like I'm always like have to be intentional about reminding myself, this is fun. Like this doesn't have to be like life or death. It doesn't have to be something that's stressful. I'm doing this because I love like just getting more jacked and I'm excited about it. Not like I'm a failure if I don't progress, or I'm a failure if I don't do this, right? It's all just something that we're doing for fun at the end of the day. I think reminding yourself of that is important. But that training effort, again, is like we talked about, a lot of people are missing that intensity that is needed to grow. That's a big part of why like the execution videos are so helpful in pushing clients along, is very few people, even coaches, are actually training as hard as they need to be. And I think that's been a big difference maker for me as well. Where I like thought I was training hard before, but really I think of the last like year, especially really like up leveling that has helped so much. And that's one thing that really, really helped for me was actually with Brandon adding in the length and partials, where would be like, okay, once you fail, like being able to take these movements through a full range of motion, you're literally going to keep repping it out until you can't move the weight. And even then you're going to fight it for like 5 seconds before you stop. That really, really helped me. Like, oh shit, I do have a lot more here than I thought I did still. Because, and I also committed to him, like, dude, I'm going to send you 3 videos every week. And it's typically like my hack squat, my leg press. And then I probably need to change this to like a split squat. Right now I have it as like an incline chest press, which isn't really hard for me to push anymore. But like with those length and partial, seeing like, yeah, like every week for like the first month, I felt like it was like, no, man, you still got a couple more here. And I'm like, really? Are you serious? And then I did. Because it's different with like those like intensifier techniques too. Like, yes, you fail at like getting a full range of motion, but with those movements where you fail on the shore first and there's still quite a bit more, it is kind of crazy how much more you could squeeze out. So I think that's been a huge for me as well.
I really think that a lot of times whenever somebody is adding a lot more body fat in a build phase, it's either their food has just gotten too sloppy or they're not training hard enough. Like almost one of those, always one of those two things.
Yeah. And I think a ton of people, almost everyone who we work with, I wouldn't say almost everyone, a lot of people who work with have tried a building phase in the past. A lot of women have tried a building phase in the past and I felt like, hey, I just gained body fat. And I feel like this is coming up more and more. Like a lot of coaches really focus on the nutrition side of things and just like, hey, here's your 8-week training program and kind of go do your thing. And I'll give you another program in 8 weeks and don't really like actually coach that. Whereas in depth as we are with this, so many people, like the training is just as important for the nutrition as the nutrition. It's kind of interesting where I think that people kind of look at just like training as kind of being less important as long as people are like in the gym, but I mean, for like the clients we work with where, hey, you don't just want to get lean. You want to build muscle. You want to really change the shape of your physique. That training is the stimulus for that. I mean, the stimulus is the most important thing for our ability to build muscle. The nutrition is just supportive of that. And so many people are missing that. But yeah, so many people have like, I go into build phase, I'm eating food, me more food, but again, the training isn't there. And again, it's very much like both the intensity, but also even as you touched on with like going to the gym, the exercise selection very often is like, are we putting you in a position where we can push the failure and you can actually do so well, right? Like that back squat versus hack squat example. That is an important part of it as well that a lot of people are overlooking. Anything else to add there before we move on?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Anything else as far as like biggest lessons?
Yeah. First, I think spending that year and a half in the health phase was not the most fun time in my fitness journey for sure. But I can so clearly look back now and see, and I remember us talking on a podcast about it where what I said was 5 years from now, I'm going to be so glad that I went through this time, even though I hate it. And like, I'm very clearly seeing that direct line and it's really cool that I'm about 2 pounds from my heaviest weight, the peak weight that I got to in that health phase. Cause he really pushed my weight up pretty high during that. And I keep fighting with myself mentally about sharing those because like those pictures, I am not proud of those pictures. They're not great. It was like before I went through the gut health phase, he was just pushing my calories high and we were working on bringing my sex hormones back up. I mean, my stomach was distended because my gut health was really bad. Like they're not great pictures, but I really want to show, and I will end up sharing those. I really want to show the difference between then and now at the same body weight, because that phase was so important for me to go through. Cause my, what happened was, after my previous fat loss phase, it was just really grindy. And I was like, okay, I've got to do something about like the internal health here. Mm-hmm. And all of my sex hormones were pretty tanked. My thyroid hormones were tanked. And so that's what we had worked on along with gut health, which all ties in together through that year and a half. And so I went through all of that, then a deficit phase that went so much smoother than my previous one had because of going through that. But then even beyond that, whenever I started bringing food back up, when my coach, Brittany, she had me reduce my steps from 14,000 to 8,000, my digestion improved again. Like I can look back now at my leanest pictures after that fat loss phase and even see more distension in my stomach then versus now at a heavier weight. And like, I remember whenever we lowered my steps and all of a sudden, like I wasn't as bloated after meals, it's like crazy wild. Like all of that was stress on my body that I didn't even realize was a stressor on my body. And so, that has really been like a horrible and also such an important and interesting process for me to go through. And I'm so glad that I did that. And my results now that I'm really excited about are a direct reflection of going through all that stuff that I didn't want to.
Yeah. And we did a full breakdown of your health phase. We did a full podcast on this that I will link up in the show notes. And I think that is important. Like if you're in a similar place to listen to, I know we have a couple clients who are in a similar situation to this where it's, because basically where you were is you were in a place a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, where it was like for you to even maintain, calories had to be extremely low. Your sex hormones weren't in a great place. I think your thyroid hormones weren't in a great place either, were they?
No.
And your gut health wasn't in a great place, right? And again, this is most people probably won't have to spend that long in like a phase like that. But for you, it was a good year and a half, right? Year and a half of really like not training hard, not being as lean as you wanted. Like you said, like not proud of those pictures versus where you're at now. But I think it's easy to like get a couple weeks to a couple months into something like that and be like, fuck, is this worth it? Right. Like, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can get through it. You kind of just quit. And then if you would have done that, you wouldn't be where you're at now, right? We would still be kind of stuck in that same place, kind of frustrated, probably kind of like bouncing back and forth between goals. Whereas because you were willing to do that, and again, like it probably wasn't fun, but like that work you put in then allows you to be in a place where your body is so much more responsive, where you are finally able to like eat more food than you ever had before and like make such great progress. That's so cool. I'm very proud of you for going through that. I do think that would be cool to see you share also, because I think that would resonate with a lot of people, because that phase is hard to be in. And again, like yours was exceptionally long, but I think that perspective of like 5 years from now, would I be glad I did this, or would I regret doing this? Like, would I regret quitting on this? I think that's such a good perspective in a situation like that, because it is so easy in the moment to be like, fuck, this is hard. I just want to like feel like get back to doing my normal things. But again, like many times it's like, hey, there's years where we kind of run yourself into the ground. And we need to focus on restoring these things before your body will be responsive again, right? They can't heal like in the same environment that we created the problem. So I think that's such a great point. Anything else to add there?
I'm happy with having gone through that. And I'm really proud of me too.
Yeah. You're going to be getting jacked now. I'm sorry to see it. I always think about when, and you weren't even nearly as jacked as you are now, but like when we first started working together and you told me you didn't want to get any more jacked. It's funny how much that's changed. Anything else as far as biggest takeaways?
Yeah. The last one that I have is the timeline for a building phase, because it seems like every single time we get into a build phase with someone, it's like, okay, how long do I have to do this?
Yeah.
And then when can we get back to dieting? Which is fair. I totally get that, because if somebody's ultimate goal is to be leaner, like that's what you're naturally going to be focused on. But like we always are saying, like the thing that's going to make the most visual difference for you is adding more muscle, not just losing more fat. Right. And then also going through a build phase makes the fat loss phase go so much smoother, because you'll spend so much more time not dieting, and you'll have a higher basal metabolic rate from being heavier with more muscle. Like it just makes it go so much smoother.
Right.
So for me, I just talked to my coach this week about a timeline and thinking about next April or May doing a photo shoot. And so that means that I started in October. So I'll be building, as long as digestion stays good and all of that, I'll be building for over a year before starting my next diet. And even then I'm like, is that enough time to put on enough muscle before I, because I don't want to diet again and then see like no muscle in my legs change. You know what I mean?
Right.
So even then I'm like, I hope that's enough time. But building takes a lot of time. And anybody that you're looking at and seeing like, oh man, they look great. I wonder if like, can I go through this build phase and put that muscle on? Like, what's the minimum time that I can spend in this phase? Like, it's probably going to take a lot more time than you think it is.
Yeah.
So, I think that just with build phases, what I'll usually say with clients is the minimum amount of time that I think that makes the most sense is going to be about 6 months, because any shorter than that, and it's really difficult to see any change at all. But I will spend as much time here as you will let me before we get into the next dieting phase.
And I would really encourage anyone listening to not approach your building phase with the like, how can I get this done as quickly as possible mindset? Because it does just take a lot of time. Right. And again, when we're approaching things, it's very similar to the training where it's like, if you're scared of it, it's just not nearly as productive as if it's like, this is fun. I love doing this. I'm excited to do this. Right. Again, like you will get so much better results out of your building phase if you can let go of that mindset, understand it is going to take time. But again, like really like all things within coaching, the more of a positive mindset you can approach it with, the better the results will be, and really focus on what am I excited about in this phase? What am I taking from this? Right. So there's like the added food flexibility. You get to eat more food as a whole. You feel so much better. You can have probably a little bit more, you can have more of a social life. Again, like for me, like I get to enjoy more meals out and like more flexibility with my wife and things of that nature. And how good you feel in your training, the way the logbook is progressing and like how fun all those things are. Really focusing on that is so important. And I will also say like because like the client results we share are oftentimes the things that attract a lot of new clients. The ones that attract the most new clients that seem to like resonate with the most people as far as like that's the results that I want are always the ones I share where it's this person spent a very, very long time focused on building and not dieting. So I think it's also important to, when you like see someone else's results and it's like, I want something similar. Now we're never going to like, hey, I can give you this person's physique. But when it's like, I want to make progress like that, not look at it as, so I'm going to like hire someone and like, here's what I want to do, but rather look at what did that person do to get there? Right. And again, because it's always like I think of my client Kim, where it's like, spent a good we worked together for like a little over 2 years. I shared her on that reel I posted yesterday, and out of like at least 75% of that time, a good like year and a half at least, we were focusing on building, right? And that, so that's so important to again keep in mind when you're looking at something like that. But again, like the timeline, I would be very cautious. Really try not to approach it with a like, how can I get like, what's the minimum amount of time I can do this? Again, like embrace the phase, enjoy it, make the most of it, have fun with it. It will be fun if you choose to make it fun. You'll get to eat a lot more food. You'll get a lot more jacked. You feel great in your training, and it'll just go so much better. I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Anything else to add before we close out here?
No, I hope this was helpful.
Yeah, I think this will be super helpful. So going forward, again, we'll just be getting into the building phase series. Thank you for all of the questions on Instagram. We will answer those. If you have any other building phase questions that you want to ask, feel free to DM either Andrea or myself. If you have any like criticisms of anything you heard here, DM them to Natalie. If you want to apply for coaching with our team, hit the link in the show notes and we will catch you guys next time.